The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is based on the epistle lesson, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 12. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is a testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, songs of victory still resound in the sanctuary of our God. Hallelujah, Jesus lives. The empty grave sparkles in the bright glow of triumph. Sin, Satan, hell, death, and the grave lie vanquished at the risen Saviour's feet. We Christians are to share our Saviour's victory. Linked by faith to our triumphant Master, we are to be more than conquerors. In the face of all enemies that oppose us on our heavenward march, we are to fling out the challenging cry, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." This is our theme for today. May the Lord bless our meditation. So firstly, we consider the nature of our world, conquering faith, not faith in man. The apostle does not attribute world-conquering power to every and any kind of faith. Humanism is faith in humankind, in man's own ability to conquer self, sin, evil habits, social wrongs, and all the powers of nature. Oh, how strong has been mankind's faith in itself. Through education, science, and ethical culture, people had hoped to build a super race of people and a world of peace and plenty. Confident of the inherent goodness of man and of his power, men planned in a short time to turn all swords into plowshares and to bring freedom from want and freedom from fear all over the world. How disillusioned we are today. The gigantic problems of world peace, world justice, fair distribution of wealth on the earth are now seen to be essentially the problem of the inherited depravity of man. Man by nature is corrupt, evil and sinful. The progress of mankind toward onward and upward forever, again and again, meets the stumbling block of man's innate greed, selfishness and lust for power. So, Christian faith is faith in Jesus Christ. The apostle attributes world-conquering power to the Christian faith. This is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And briefly he shows the content of the Christian faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Faith, Christian faith, is faith in Jesus as the eternal, only begotten Son of God. To Christian faith, Jesus is more than an ideal man or a prophet who has come from God, or an outstanding character in history, or the flower of Jewish spirituality. Christian faith regards and worships Jesus as Lord and God. It confesses of Jesus, as written in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He is the Word of life, who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. On that day, when the Son of God came to John the Baptist to be baptized with water, he placed himself on the side of sinners and declared himself ready to fulfill all righteousness in the sinner's stead. With the fullness of the deity dwelling in his human body, he came also by blood. Only recently have we passed through the blessed season of Lent, in which we meditated upon the passion of our Lord and followed him from Gethsemane's anguish out to the cross-crowned hill of Calvary. We saw the Lamb of God shedding his precious blood upon the altar of sacrifice as a complete and eternally valid atonement for the sins of the whole world. Faith clings to Jesus as the only begotten Son of God and sinless Son of Man, and in his blood alone seeks and finds pardon for sin, reconciliation with God, and the new way to spiritual life and world-conquering power. So faith builds on Jesus and sings, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Christian faith rests on divine testimony. Our faith concerning Jesus Christ is rooted in God's word and rests on divine testimony. For the Bible's testimony is the witness of God, the witness of the Holy Spirit. We receive the witness of men. If something is reported to us on the basis of reliable and trustworthy testimony, we give credence to the message. Now, reliable witnesses, the prophets of old, and the apostles and the evangelists, give witness to the deity and sinless humanity and the vicarious suffering and death and triumphant resurrection of our blessed Saviour. They agree with John in testifying, "This, Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life." They join him in the confession, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." He, Jesus Christ the righteous, is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The testimony of these faithful witnesses won for them not the glamour of worldly fame, but the hatred of the wise and the persecution of the mighty. There is no reason that we can detect that they would have deliberately lied about the person and character, the message and the works of their friend and champion Jesus Christ. Why then should we not believe their testimony? But even reliable men can be mistaken in their judgment and be deceived in observation. To err is human. However, our faith does not rest upon mere human testimony. It has its foundation in the depths of divine, inerrant truth. For the prophets and apostles were but the agents in the hand of the blessed Holy Spirit, by whom he has given us the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and blessed us with a true account of Christ's life and works, and the eternally true meaning of the purpose and blessing of Christ's coming into the world. The holy men of God spoke as they are moved by the Holy Spirit, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In this God-breathed volume, we have the blessed Holy Spirit's testimony concerning Jesus as God's Son and the Atoner of the world's iniquity. This testimony of the Holy Spirit has one aim and one glorious purpose: the generation and confirmation of Christian world-conquering faith. And in God's book, we hear also the testimony of God the Father. For did he not proclaim from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? Did he not raise his own Son from the grave and thereby seal the claims of Jesus as true and the work of Jesus as gloriously accomplished? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is God the Father's manifesto to the world. Jesus is my Son. His blood is a perfect atonement for sin. Believe his word, accept his blood wrought redemption, and look upon him and be saved. Oh, friends, to reject the testimony of the Holy Spirit means a rejection of the truth. To spurn the testimony of God in unbelief is tantamount to making God a liar. Oh, sinful pride! Oh, blasphemous rebellion against God! Now, our faith is God's work. Through the divine testimony of the Bible, we have come to saving faith. We call Jesus Lord and God and worship him as our Saviour and cherish the peace of God which is ours through faith in his blood. But our faith is not a product of our ingenuity, our power of logic, or our wisdom and determination. Nor is it a gift of inheritance. Our text says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What a mighty statement regarding the origin as well as the power of faith. Our faith did not originate from the powers of human persuasion. It is born of God. The Word of God is a heavenly seed through which the Holy Spirit of God has generated new spiritual life within us, has brought us to faith, and has given us a new birth. Faith is a gift of our gracious God. It is a new birth of the Spirit. Scripture says, "God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He has blessed us with the assurance, "Truly, Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me. Through his blood I am at peace with God, and heaven is my home." The assurance of faith born of God is therefore not an imagination of mortal mind, nor a product of wishful thinking, nor a fantasy of human prejudice. It is a heaven-wrought conviction sealed in our hearts as truth by God who cannot lie. May the Lord keep us in this saving faith. O Spirit of God, deepen, strengthen and perfect this faith in our soul and help us to experience the world-conquering power of faith. So secondly, we consider the nature of the victory which this faith attains. So, faith is power. To our faith, St. John ascribes power, the power to conquer the world and all persons and things that oppose and antagonize and run counter to our Christian faith. What a bold claim. But remember, the power of faith is God's power, for faith is born of God. It is God's life in us, and God is stronger than the world and can make those who believe in him more than conquerors. Did not Jesus promise under oath, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do"? And St. Paul, the hero of faith, speaking from his own life experience, makes a startling assertion, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let us also remember, the battle of faith is against defeated enemies. In faith, remember also the assurance of Jesus. "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Satan and his hellish hosts, the world and all things that oppose our Christian faith, are defeated and vanquished enemies. Christ's death was not a dismal defeat, but a glorious victory. And through his resurrection, he has made his and our enemies a mockery and a scorn. Linked by faith to the victorious, living, almighty Christ, we are world conquerors. The victories of faith over the world are more glorious and much worth more while than the victories of arms gained by Alexander the Great, Caesar, or other men of renown on the field of battle. So the victories that faith wins are, firstly, victory over the world's mockery and scorn. The believers have the world against them. The world meets our faith with stinging scorn and biting sarcasm, for the world despises the gospel of Jesus. It walks in darkness, in self-righteousness, and in spiritual pride. It regards the wisdom of God as nonsense and heaps with shame the blood-wrought righteousness of Jesus of the cross. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world, the judgment of God and the judgment of the world, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world are opposites. No wonder that even the most highly educated and cultured children of the world laugh to scorn our faith in Jesus. No wonder they call us who believe the so-called blood religion fools. No wonder they attribute our faith to wishful thinking, to childish fears, and to religious prejudices instilled in childhood. But friends, our faith is a victory that overcomes the world. We know who we have believed. We know with a heaven-wrought conviction that what we believe is God's truth, God's wisdom, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we will not permit the scorn and ridicule of the world to ruffle our faith or to shake our conviction. And although at times doubts would assail us and our faith weaken under the avalanche of worldly opposition, the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. Through the testimony of the Word, He brings us back to the bedrock foundation of truth and helps us to defy the contradiction of the world and to regard with sincere pity those who in sinful pride fight against the truth of God. Faith, cemented in God's Word, overcomes all the forces of the world marshalled against the truth of the Most High. So faith wins a victory over the world's opposition to the gospel. The world picks out for special and most vicious attacks our faith in the sin-atoning cross of Jesus Christ. At heart, the world is self-righteous and hugs to its soul human merit as its passport to heaven. It levels its shafts of ugly criticism at the atonement through the shed blood of the Son of God. The substitutionary life and death of Jesus is an offence to the proud children of unbelief. But our faith is a victory that has overcome the world. The Spirit of God has led us to know the real and damning nature of sin. He has shown us the white light of the justice and holiness of God. He has convinced us of our utter unworthiness. But He has also taught us to know the beauty of the Saviour and the value of God's riches of God's grace in Christ. We have learnt the melody of faith, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You have just heard the law and the gospel. The fury of the world's hatred against the cross cannot shake our faith. Accepting the gospel of the vicarious atonement of God's sure and saving truth, we recognise the world's hatred against the gospel as sinful pride and devilish blindness, and its arguments against God's way of salvation as hell-born lies. Thus, faith remains victorious in the battle of the ages, the battle of the world against Christ. So finally, faith wins a victory over the world's ungodliness. The principles of the world and the moral principles of God are opposites. The world is captivated by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It is blinded by the glitter of gold and the bright lights of pleasure. It seeks its truth, it seeks its treasure on earth. The world in its life and attributes constitutes a serious temptation to the children of God. Our own evil flesh tempts and seduces us. The traitor in our bosom conspires with our enemies to bring about our destruction. But also in this instance, our faith, born of God, is a victory that overcomes the world. With St. Paul we say, "The world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. By faith we glory in the cross of Jesus." Through Christ, we believers have been accepted into the family of God and made heirs of eternal life. In our soul re-echoes the voice of God, "You are my beloved children. Walk as children of light, as pilgrims of God, homeward bound." As children of God and warriors of the cross, we give battle to all ungodliness and worldly lusts and strive to walk in godliness and good works. God's Spirit helps us onward to victory over the lusts of the flesh and the base principles of the world. O Lord, through the testimony of your word, keep us in the saving faith of Jesus. By your word, strengthen mighty that faith, and by faith make us more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us and died for our sins and rose for our justification, even our glorious living Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.